Welcome to the You Lead Podcast, equipping you to lead.
Welcome to this installment of You Lead, the personal leadership development podcast of Orange. We are really, really excited that you joined us. This segment is going to be unbelievable because you get an opportunity to hear an interview that Reggie Joyner did with Andy Stanley about this idea of choosing to cheat. If you're a leader, you understand the incredible tension that you face with all of the things that you know that you need to get done in a day. As a leader, there is this constant tension of realizing things that need to get done because of the way things are. You always see the incredible task ahead of you. And so consequently, your day can become a myriad of schedules and tasks and to-do lists. And to be very candid, there's not enough time in the day for you to do everything that needs to be done. We all have a tendency to cheat, and unfortunately, our families pay the price for that. Today, Reggie is going to interview Andy. Andy wrote a book called Choosing to Cheat. For those of you who don't know, Andy Stanley is the pastor of North Point Community Church that is based in Alpharetta, Georgia, has three campuses here in the Atlanta area, as well as strategic partnership churches all around the country and around the world. Reggie is the brains behind Orange, and Reggie is going to interview Andy about this idea of choosing to cheat, that you don't have enough time in the day. So if you're going to cheat, cheat your work. As a leader, that probably sounds intriguing and challenging at the same time. As well, there's another segment where we had an opportunity to get some pieces of Reggie speaking at an incredible church in the Atlanta area, 12 Stone Church, about the idea of the bigger picture. Reggie's going to drop some wisdom on us all as he communicated to that great body of believers at 12 Stone. Really, really excited for you as a leader to kind of hear some things that are going to challenge you as you try to develop your influence and leverage. Thanks for joining us and enjoy.
Well, I'm hanging out with Andy Stanley, and we're talking a little bit about personal development, staff, family, a lot of different issues. And Andy, thanks for talking with us about a book you wrote several years ago, because I think there's a principle that I think was a defining moment for us as a staff and for a lot of other churches and staffs around the country. It's called Choosing to Cheat. Tell us for just a second, why did you write the book?
The book was actually the result of a message I did years ago at North Point. And it was really just an opportunity to tell the story of how I came to a point in my life where I realized there's just not enough time to get everything done at home and everything done at work. The stage of life that I reference in the book, and when I tell the story, we had two kids in diapers, and Sandra was pregnant, and you were there. We had just started the church, and anybody who started anything, it's extraordinarily time intensive. And I came home one day, and I realized I'm not doing this right. I'm going to make people at church happy, and my wife unhappy, or make her happy, and people at work are going to wonder why I'm not working as hard as they are. And I realized that I was going to cheat. Somebody was going to be cheated. And Sandra and I had an incredible conversation. She initiated it. And in that conversation, I said, in an ideal world, when do you need me home? And she said, you know, at 4:30, I'm just kind of going down for the count. She said, the most important hours of the day for me are 4:30 to 6:30. If you could be home from 4:30 to 6:30, that would just change everything. Wow. And so you remember I went back and told our staff, I said, I know we're just starting this thing, and it's, you know, there's just more to do than ever, maybe more to do now than there ever will be. But I might have to be the first one to leave in the afternoon. And so we chose to cheat the church instead of our family and families. Mm-hmm. And as you said, I really do think that set a pace for us, and we certainly don't always get it right. But I think we gave ourselves permission to leave when we needed to leave and invest in our kids the way we thought we needed to invest in our kids.
I even think part of the principle that appealed to me at the time when you first talked about it was the idea of just comparing it to the story of Daniel. Mm-hmm. And kind of the test.
Yep.
When he tested the principle.
Yeah, because people hear this and they say, well, that's easy for you, Andy. You work for yourself or your pastor, and, you know, other than Sundays, what do you have to do anyway? Mm-hmm. And so when I talk to businessmen about this, I say, now, before you push back and tell me that, you know, you have to travel certain days of the month, you know, you work for this, you know, these bosses or a boss that's just not going to understand this. In Daniel, there's a principle where when he realized he didn't want to compromise in terms of what he ate, instead of just saying, I'm not going to eat this food, he went to the people in authority over him and he said, hey, let's try something mm-hmm. new. Just give me 10 days to try something new. And if it didn't work out, we'll talk about it. But let's try something. And so I encourage businessmen and women all the time to take an alternate schedule to a supervisor, to a manager, to a board, and say, look, I'm going to try to, you know, shift my hours, shift my travel days, and then evaluate me, just like Daniel said. And if, you know, if you think my productivity, my mm-hmm. production's dropped off, we'll talk about it. But let's just try this. And what we've seen is when, you know, when men and women try this and are faithful to their what they promised, and again, they're not looking for an excuse not to work hard, it's kind of amazing what happens. I mean, it's as if God really does get involved, because as we all know, it's generally not the number of hours we work that make the difference. It's what we do when we're working. And then it's those things we have no control over. It's the intangibles. It's that phone call. It's that deal that comes through. It's that meeting we didn't anticipate. The make or break things for most careers are really not time oriented. They're either luck, mm-hmm. providence, or just working smart. And you know, when you set narrower parameters, you get more done. And I think you give God an opportunity to show up in a remarkable way.
And how many people do we know that, looking back, said, I wish I had worked more?
Oh, yeah, zero. Yeah, right. I wish I'd spent less time with my family and worked harder. Zero. Yeah. I mean, and we meet people all the time in ministry, of course, that would give just about anything to be able to go back. And a thing we also see is the very busy executive who, for whatever reason, ignores their family, then suddenly there's a crisis and they have to devote all of their time to their mm-hmm. family, and somehow they're able to do it. They're able to go off and detox with a kid for 3 weeks. They're able to go off and patch up a marriage for 3 weeks. And if you'd said, hey, why don't you spend 3 weeks with your kids? Oh, I don't have 3 weeks. But then there's a crisis and suddenly they mm-hmm. find 3 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever it is. So, you know, what we challenge people is, look, you don't need to wait until you have to do this. Why don't you choose to do this and invest on the front end?
And I think the reason probably it was critical for us as a staff to understand that was because we were leading people.
Yep. And they were looking at us.
Right. It had to kind of start, you know, with our world.
Right.
Or we couldn't with integrity say, you need to do this as well.
And again, we have been in ministry long enough to have seen this done so poorly. The evangelist who's off saving everybody else's kids, you know, the pastor who's out ministering every night of the week to other people's problems. Meanwhile, they never go home. And I think sometimes it's because, well, I know we are better helping other people's kids than our own. It's easier for me to help fix somebody else's marriage than my own. And so, you know, ministry people get in that cycle, and which, of course, makes things worse at home. But I think, again, because we had this discussion early on, we felt the permission and to do some things in an unusual way in terms of scheduling. I think today here we are 15 years later, mm-hmm. and we're both reaping the reward of that. And so it's fun to talk about. It's fun to encourage, especially young pastors, you know, to choose to cheat in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, we have an intern that actually came up to me at camp just last week who is starting to work at a church in Dallas as he goes to seminary, and the church just lost their senior pastor. And he just kind of explained to me, in this new marriage, he's taking on all of this new responsibility to fill in the gap.
Wow, yeah.
And I wanted to kind of lean into him and say something I've heard you talk about for years, and I kind of did for a moment, that, you know, somebody one day will replace him and do his job at the church.
Yep.
But that's not true for family.
No, really, I only have one unique role in my life. It's father to my children. Even my wife can get a new husband, but I have two unique roles, and I'm father to my kids. No one else can do that. And I'm Sandra's first husband. She can get another husband, but I'm her only first husband. Everything else I do, not only can someone else do, someday someone is going to do. So why would we sacrifice the unique roles for a role that someone else can do and ultimately will do? And yet, you know, men and women are tempted to do that all the time.
That's great. Thanks, Andy. The book is Choosing to Cheat. I know you can get it on Amazon.com, both at North Point and at Rethink. I hope you'll get it, hand it out, read it, discuss it, and figure out how to reprioritize your family. Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed Reggie's interview with Andy Stanley. Now here's Reggie speaking at 12 Stone.
One of the girls who writes for us, her name is Kristen. She doesn't have a perfect picture of family. As a matter of fact, her dad and mom got divorced when she was about 13 or 14 years of age. Now she's married to a guy named Matt. They met at Baylor University in Texas, and they had their first child. And Kristen said to me a few months ago, she said, I want to have a baby dedication. I want to dedicate our son. I just don't want to do it in a church because I'm not sure some of my family really are comfortable coming to church. I was wondering if you could kind of do a private baby dedication at the condo. And so I agreed to do it. It was one of those moments where after I said I agreed to do it, I thought, I'm not sure this could be awkward. What is this going to look like? And it's almost like weddings. I mean, you have all these people who come up who haven't talked to each other for a while, and they kind of show up, and they're going to try to engage in something that's meaningful, and I'm trying to figure out how to navigate through those waters, and everybody's there in the condo, and I kind of keep it light. I have them share funny stories about Matt and Kristen when they were growing up, and then we take, Sawyer, and we put him right in the middle of the room, and I ask the parents and the grandparents and everyone to share what is the one thing that they would pray and wish would happen in Sawyer's life, and it comes to Billy. Billy is Kristen's dad. Billy is the one who ended up going through the divorce. She lived with her dad for a few years, but he's the one who kind of ended up walking away. And it was just Billy's. I've known Billy for years. He's an amazing man. He's very, very smart. Actually, in Iraq for several years in the Green Zone, building water systems. But he hasn't been engaged with church or God or anything for years. And when it came to Billy, he started talking about his grandson and how he wanted Sawyer to figure out who he was and why God had made him a lot quicker than he was able to. And for the first time in a decade, these family members hear their dad talking about spiritual issues because of a little baby. He's sitting in the room with his ex-wife and her husband who used to be his boss. I mean, it's just this messy, messy thing. But it doesn't matter, because he wants to be engaged in this story of his grandson and re-engage him. Here's a picture of Sawyer. Let me put a picture of Sawyer up for you. Now see, that's the problem. I've been talking about the deception of pictures now for 30 minutes, and you've missed it. I mean, this kid kept his parents awake for 4 months. He pitches a fit when he doesn't get what he wants. But you know what I'm saying. It's a part of the story. And it was emotional. And this granddad finishes up. And when he's done, we get to the barbecue, which is the fun part of the baby dedication. We're all sitting around eating barbecue. And Billy comes up to me and he says this. My daughter's been working for you for a few years, and I'm not really sure what she does or what you guys do. Would you kind of explain this to me? And so I explained to him. We kind of help churches partner with families and help people understand it's not about a picture, it's about a story. And as I'm explaining to him, he gets visibly emotional, which I've never really seen Billy do. And then Billy said this. He said, I've never really talked about this. He said, but 15 years ago when Cindy left, we were all going to church. A few Sundays after we split up, I went to church, and he said, I sat in the row where I had sat for so many years with my family on a Thanksgiving Sunday. And he said, I listened to the pastor talk, and he said, I kept feeling like that day he was holding up a picture of family that I would never be again. And as I was sitting there that day, I felt in my own mind and life, whether it was right or wrong, that I just didn't fit anymore. And I left the church 15 years ago, and I haven't been back. And the reason I'm glad you did this here, and the reason I'm glad I was able to be here, is because I want to be a part of the story. You see, I don't know your life. I don't know what broken pieces of pictures you're holding on to. And I don't know how many people you're frustrated, or have you frustrated yourself because you've tried to get to a picture that you'll never get to. But chances are, every one of us in this room, if we're honest about it, have times and moments in our lives when we're holding the pieces of pictures that just didn't work out the way we wanted them to work out. And we just need to be reminded from time to time that it's not about the picture. It's about a bigger story. Maybe you're like the mother who came up to me last week at camp, and she said, I got to go home and I want you to pray for me and apologize to my family. I said, apologize to what? She said, I just got to get them off the hook. Get them off the hook from what? Because I've been trying to get them all to get in line with my picture. And I just need to let them know they can let go of the pictures, and it's about a story. Or maybe you're like this friend of mine who's, you know, my age and his kids are all going off to college and he had this picture of what retirement was going to look like for him. And now all of a sudden there's this rift between him and his wife and things aren't the way he pictured at this season of his life. And he's sitting there holding these pictures that didn't work out the way he thought they were. And he's kind of hopeless and he's not knowing what to do. And I just want to lean into him. And I just want to remind him, don't stay focused on the picture. Remember, there's a bigger story of restoration and redemption that God wants to tell in your life. The 20-something-year-old dad who came up to me last week or a few weeks ago in Fort Lauderdale. He said, I made a bad choice. I lost my job. I've got this kid. Is there still a purpose for me? Am I going to get through this? And I wanted to lean in and say to him, yeah, because it's not about pictures. There's such a bigger story that moves into eternity. It's so much bigger than this snapshot in time. Or the college students who've come up and said, but you don't know. You don't know. If you were to know my pictures and what I have dealt with in this dark moment in my life where something happened to me that I'm not sure I'll ever get past, how do I get past that and how do I get beyond that? Because something happened to me that was so traumatic and now I'm carrying this picture and I want to say, let go of the picture because there's a bigger story. You see, some of you know what I'm talking about because you're sitting here and things just aren't working out exactly the way you wanted them to work out. Some of you are single parents. You didn't plan this. You didn't say, one day I'm going to get married, I'm going to have children, and then guess what? I'm going to do it by myself. This wasn't your dream. And I just want to lean into you today and say this, and I just want it to be crystal clear. Maybe this is the only reason I came. Let go of the pictures. It's not about the pictures. God is so much bigger than that. And God's desire in every one of your lives and every one of your families is for you not to be held victim to some picture that you've been trying to live up to. God's purpose in your life, regardless of the mess, regardless of the baggage, regardless of your story, is to demonstrate who He is through your life, to let a world know because of the way He deals with you and what He wants to demonstrate through you, that He is a God of restoration and He is a God of redemption.
Thank you so much for being a part of You Lead. We hope that you've been challenged and encouraged with what you've heard today. We also hope that you'll in turn challenge and encourage someone else. You can certainly do that in your own sphere, but we would love for you to join us at orangeleaders.com and give us your insight, questions, comments that you may have. This is a very, very important topic. We as leaders have to wrestle with this. Keep checking back in with You Lead because we want to be that resource and help you become the leader that God's made you to be.
Presented by YouLead.com, a product of the Orange Strategy. Find out more at whatisorange.org.